And we've talked about it, led us through the covenant. The, you know, we were over in chapter 17 of Genesis. Now we're in chapter 15. Actually, you start out this covenant process in chapter 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16 you're dealing with. And it's quite, I'm just going to review a little bit. I wasn't here last week. I was down to Ike's. And so, as I said earlier, I'm a guy and I forget maybe where we left off, but I've been rereading this stuff and going through it. And you know, we talk about, you know, last week or a couple few weeks ago, you know, we I'll just get to my notes here. I'm trying to think of that word and I can't think of it. Yeah, you know, we imputed with God's righteousness on us, and you know, and how, you know, we looked over at Genesis. I had a bunch of y'all read. We looked at Genesis when Adam and sinned, and they sinned, and God come calling them. What'd they do?
Hid themselves.
They hid themselves. They hid themselves. And what did God do?
He called to them.
He called to them and
covered them.
And he covered them with what?
The animal skins.
An animal skin. I like to look at it as they clothed in his righteousness.
Right.
And that's what imputed means, so to speak. But you get over here, you know, a lot of people, like I said the last time, some people realize that they are naked before God, and they attempt to make their spiritual clothes. They attempt to figure out a right way. When I grew up a Catholic, it was always, man, if I say five more Hail Marys and five more Our Fathers on the rosary bead, man, you know, I got it covered. If I just behave, or if I, you know, help a, you know, almost like a Boy Scout, an elderly lady across the street, you know, that I'm doing good with God. Mm-hmm. You know, and a lot of people try to figure out their own ways. They put on their own spiritual clothes, and but as I was talking before that, but we need to realize that our clothes are as filthy rags. We read that over in Isaiah, you know, and then, you know, what people need to realize, what we need to realize, that you know, a sinner. And I did this, realize that we were naked before God. Naked before God. And call out to God for his mercy.
Right.
You know, and then I like to put it, God gives us that new set of clothes. If any man be in Christ, he is Nathan. Yeah. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become
Amen.
I some people might get frustrated with me because they think I'm judging, but I'm not. I refer back to that verse. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. I was on jury duty once. How many ever served on jury duty? I hated that. I wanted to get out. But, well, I just said, well, it is what it is. And you know, on how you judge people, you go by facts. The only thing is, when we had this thing, you know, it was kind of, you know, the lady sense moved, but she was trying to hide her son, and the police officer come out, and then she tried to stop the state troopers, and they had, you know, everything, the sound and everything, and we're sitting there deliberating in the back room, and she was pushing and trying to hold off the police officer from getting her son, and she even at one point, it felt like she was going for the gun. So who's that wrong here? We're making this, trying to, and this lady says, well, only a mother would do that. I feel so sorry. I said, we're not here to go on feelings.
No.
I stood up and I was a little upset. I said, we are only supposed to make a decision according to the judge. We were told on facts.
that we had presented before us. And people's lies are facts presented before us. And we make those assumptions, if you want to call it that, you know, judgments on somebody's life, you know, and they say, well, you know, he's a Christian or Christian. Based on what?
Right.
Just because you ask Jesus in your heart and said those words. Mm-hmm. Nathan, what did I just say? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new.
Right.
Was that my saying? Did I invent that verse?
It's the word of God.
The word of God. So, they pull out the verse, judge not that you be not judged. Mm. Well, I'm not judging on circumstantial evidence. I got facts in front of me, you know.
Right.
And I don't know how I got into that, but
it's good
God
preaching.
Gives a new set of clothes, and God wanted that said. But we're dealing down, you look at verses number 8 and 9, just real quick, and he said, Lo God, whereby shall I know that thy shall inherit it? He's talking about the promise of giving him the land of Canaan. You remember, he come up out of here, and he come up someplace over, and he come around, and he come out this way. Now he's talking about, some people call it the Palestinian land, and there's a lot of people already in there, but a lot of them are nomads. Mm-hmm. You have to understand that. And we're going to be seeing a little bit later how God's going to make it to get those people out, to get his people in. But he promised them this land. And, you know, a lot of people are against Israel and said, that's not yours and everything else. We have God's word on it.
Right.
What more proof do you need?
Amen.
You know what? I don't know if it's 100% sure, but I believe even history would prove that.
Yeah.
That it's their land.
Mm-hmm.
And when they start talking about the Gaza Strip and all that, God's promise, he's going to keep it.
Right.
They're not going to lose. I'll just say that.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just say that. But, you know, then it says here in verse 7, and he said to them, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. You know, so you have all this happening here, and so God lays out the next few verses here, which I want to get into a little bit, and he said unto him, take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece against another, for the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abram drove them away. Abram saying, how should I know this to be? And God's response is, right away, bring me a heifer.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at that and I said, boy, that's, you know,
yep.
How should I know? You go to God and say, God, how should I know these to be true? What if God said to you, bring me a heifer? I look at that and yep. I look at, when I read the word of God, I find these things and say, wow, that's just right to the point. And that's how God is. God doesn't beat around the bush. And he says, bring me a heifer. We're going to show you. And, you know, the heifer and the inheritance, they're tied together in the mind of God. And so Abram, as we see that he gathered these heifers, a heifer, a goat, and a ram, and a turtle dove, and a pigeon, and he gathered all the animals and birds to come in, you know. I don't know if I talk about it, but in our culture today, how we make a pact with somebody, how we make a contract, to draw up a contract, it's signed by both parties and everything, and it's done through a legal process and all that goes on. God has a little bit different way of doing that, but it was a little different. Two parties back then would slaughter some animals, and they would carve them and arrange them in pieces in two rows. In two rows, they'd have one row here and one row here. And they would lay the pieces on both sides, and there's just a middle alleyway that went up through. And we're gonna look at that here in a little bit more. But they, and the two parties, they would hold hands and they would walk together through this, pieces of the cut up pieces of animals. And they would make a pledge to each other, as they would in the Bible, in the presence of blood, you know, and suffering, death, their intentions to keep the terms of the contract, you know, the what they had gone on. And so we're going to look at that a little bit later, but I want us to look at, you know, legal covenants. These three are the first, if you would. This is the first right here of the legal covenants. If you look at things through the Bible, you know, Genesis 15:10, it talks about here, and he took unto him all these and divided them in the midst and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided not. That, you know, you turn over to Jeremiah 34. Verses 18 and 19. And he's talking about the destruction, basically, at the title of the verse in my Bible, destruction of Jerusalem and the captivity of Zedekiah. In verse 18 and 19, it says, I will give the men that have transgressed my covenant, they broke this covenant that they had with God, which, you know, and have transgressed my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant. If you break a contract, you're not performing what you guys laid out. Even today, legal covenant, a legal contract, if you break it in any way, there's problems that you have to deal with. And this is the same thing right here. And he says, my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant, which they had made before me, when they cut the calf in twain and passed between the parts thereof. That was a covenant. That was a contract, so to speak. And God keeps his promises. We've always said that, and he always has. But who's the one that's breaking the covenant? Who's the one breaking the contract?
Yeah.
Amen. We all can raise our hand on that.
Yep.
We all can raise our hand on that. And it says here in verse 19, and the prince of Judah and the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs and the priests, and all the people of the land which passed between the parts of the calf. He's talking about that's how things were done. Line the pieces up on both sides and you pass through. Then a lot of you know from, you know, I remember years ago, Mike Batt was doing a study on Wednesday nights on Ruth. And if you turn to Ruth chapter 4, you have another covenant. You've got a covenant of the shoe, of the shoe. And Ruth chapter 4, 7 and 8, you got the Boaz, he calls the next kinsman, so to speak. And then it has here, and the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now, this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning charge for to conform all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor and was testimony in Israel. So you're dealing with, that's another kind of legal covenant that was done, just with a shoe. You know, we look at these things and say, well, it's kind of different, that's kind of, but you get to understand the whole thing behind it. And we're not going to go into the covenant of the shoe to, you know, maybe sometime we will. But then we have the salt covenant, the covenant of salt in Numbers 18, if you want to turn there. catch a little bit of what Becky had. You know, oh, we share. We're a loving family. Let's go with verse 19. This has to do with the charge of the priests, the Levites, and the Levites' portions and the heave offering to the priest and so forth. What you're dealing here, he says that, now, mind you, this is the covenant of salt. Well, what does salt do, by the way?
Number of things.
Yeah, well, it does a number of things. That's why it's in the book of Numbers.
Second dad joke of the day.
That's right. Oh, I don't know why that came out like that, but it was fun.
The abundance of your heart, brother.
Yeah. I'm thinking funny stuff today. Yeah. And it says, in the heave offerings, verse 19, of the holy things which the children of Israel offer unto the Lord, have I given thee, and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, by a statute forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord unto thee and to thy seed. With thee. There's all these covenants that are happening, and it's good to go in and study all these. I could break away each time, but I do not want to get away from right here, the covenant of the blood and the Abrahamic covenant. And, you know, so that's why, you know, I maybe we will cover those after we finish this. I'm not sure the way the Lord will lead. But looking back at Genesis, chapter 15. You know, just prior to the presence of God coming on, you know, physical presence upon the scene here, if you want to call it that way, Abram was put to a deep sleep, and we'll go to verse 11. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. It shall serve them and shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. I might hit on that maybe next week, some prophecy here. But in the fourth generation, and that's kind of interesting, when you see that fourth generation and you start with Moses and you go backwards, you're following all this here. But the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, and the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down, it was dark. Behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. It's kind of interesting. Kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Abram was put into a deep sleep, but upon the scene here, God comes down in the presence, in the physical presence of the scene here, in the form of a smoking pot and a flaming torch. And God's presence passed through pieces. God's presence passed through alone. The thing about it, these are bloody pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that. Thus, this indicates, it shows, promise of God Jehovah concerning Abraham and his salvation, I really believe that, and his possession of Canaan, they were both unconditional. Say that. to the world. God says there's no strings attached. He did it with no strings attached. He made this covenant with Abraham. This is the covenant which God anointed. Turn in Genesis 12. And we read this at the beginning when we were doing this. 1 through 4. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of the country and thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. Ooh. People should remember that today. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. When he left, God told him he left on faith. Right there was God's anointing upon it. And then, if you look over in chapter 13, 14 through 17, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thee thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, and I will give it unto thee. Here, this was confirmation by God. Mm-hmm. And now, over in 15, we read all the way through. We see, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between the pieces. And then verse 18, the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates. Now it's beneficial. It's ratified. Anybody tell me what ratified means? Any of those deal with contracts?
To adjust or to change.
What's that?
To adjust or to change.
Valid. Mm. Now it's valid.
Yep.
Now it's approved. If it's approved by God and validity before God, it's not going to be broken. It's definitely not going to be broken. Well, I want us to look at this furnace. What is the smoking furnace and a burning lamp that pass between the pieces? Have anybody looked at that? I have. I figured somebody would ask me, what's that signify? What's that mean? Well, from what I learned through studying things here in God's Word, and how I come to this conclusion, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. What's the smoking furnace? I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. And how I come to this conclusion for what the smoking furnace is.
Good.
Verse number 20.
Mm.
This was after they come out. Because I was looking at things about smoking furnace and smoking pots and anything with furnace. And it says here, and it made sense. It made sense because of what the prior verses in chapter 15 was saying. Verse 14, also that nation whom they shall serve will judge, and afterward they come out of the great substance. But before that, verse 13, he says, you're going to be a stranger in their land, and you're going to be there for 400 years. Verse 20. But the Lord had taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. So I got to looking at the smoke. What's this signify? What's it mean? It means, I wrote this down, Israel's misery that they would be going through in Egypt, called the iron furnace, the smoking furnace.
A furnace would only be smoking after the fire is put out, because it burns so hot there's no smoke. Keep going with your thought. I got something formulating. No, you keep going with finish your thing. I'm chewing. So go ahead.
Okay, I'll drink some coffee with my cough.
Okay. I'll cough for you. You drink the coffee.
There you go. But Israel's misery and the troubles they would be going through when it says from this prophecy from God. It says here, and he said to Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them. Serve them. You know, Pastor brought up a thing on Wednesday night when he talked about slavery and serving. Was that something Wednesday night?
I think it was Wednesday night, yeah.
And talk about that, you know, slavery is not in the Bible. Is that what you said?
There's maybe twice. It's only twice.
Yeah.
Yep.
But dealing to serve them. I think it might have started out in a good relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But things went south real quick. And it became more than just a serving, because as Moses would see them and how he was... they were treating his people, it became a hardship, not a good relationship. And it was a hardship, and the things that they had to go through, the things they were going through. And I think that's what the smoking furnace is signifying here. But, like I said, those are just, I'm not a theologian. I want you to understand that. And I just was looking at things with furnace. And, you know, and that just brought me back to being servants of them. And he, to verse 20, he says, I brought you out to your inheritance. And then, if you have something on that, I'm going to go try to go to the burning light next.
No, I think you're on the right track. Okay. Keep going. Yep.
Well, and then he talks about in verse number 17, of Genesis 15. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Turn to Exodus 19.
That's good.
We'll see. Give God glory.
Amen. That's his word.
19. Where I'm going to start on this. All right, let's just start. It's hard to figure out where I want to start, so I'm just going to start in verse 10, okay? I want to get down to verse 18. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. Be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up unto the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever touched the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through, whether it be beast or man. It shall not live. When the trumpet sounding along, they shall come up to the mount. And Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightning and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that the people that were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the neither part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke because the Lord descended upon it. That's what I was reading about the smoking furnace. About God being in it. We're going to finish reading this verse. Because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. What was the burning lamp? Anybody think stand it if they think they might know? I'll tell you. Divine presence of God. As I stated, that passed through.
Yep.
But listen to this. And when he went through, he burned the pieces. Catch what I'm saying?
Yep.
The sacrifice by God.
Amen.
This is good stuff.
Amen.
Is there any correlation of him being the fourth person in the furnace and the burning bush? Is there anything there? There's always.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with fire, and talking about purification, and you talk about all that with the furnace, you know, Daniel or the three Hebrew children. When you're dealing with Moses, what's he say to Moses? Remove thy shoes, for this is holy ground.
Right.
So you're dealing, when you're dealing with fire, you're dealing a lot of times with purification.
I think you're on track. Yep.
That's the way I understood things.
Yep.
And dealing with that. And when you're dealing with gold and the dross, and you use fire to make it more pure, you know, so dealing with that. But this is this is the pieces and ratification of the covenant. All this is, and then that God, another way I looked at it, that God is that light for the children of Israel. Everything dealing, when you see something like this, the smoking furnace, the burning lamp, look into it. Just don't read by it. There's some interesting stuff that you get. Oh, I didn't know that. You start looking up, well, how can I know that? Well, I just looked at the word smoked and furnace. It started comparing verses. You know, it even takes you over in the day. It takes you deal with fire, you deal with smoke, you look at all those things. And does it take time? Sure it does. But what else are you guys doing at 11 o'clock at night?
Amen.
I hope you're not on your cell phone looking at things.
Come on. Come on, brother.
Sometimes I can't sleep, and so I get into the Word of God. And sometimes after my wife and I watch Jeopardy and realize how stupid we are,
amen.
My wife's intelligent. She, cum laude at college, she was valedictorian, she's all that. But when you watch Jeopardy, she'll say, boy, I feel dumb. And it's like, but I said, they're just memorizing answers. They don't really know about it.
And when it comes to the Word of God, don't memorize. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to shame. Rightly.
That's it.
Dividing the word of truth. Because it's in there for us.
Right. So, continuing on this thought of the purging and the fire, Paul deals with that in Hebrews. In Hebrews 1:3, he says, "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." Our sins were laid upon him. He went to hell with those sins, as though they were his very own. The songwriter had it right. He took my sins and my sorrows, and he made them his very own. And he went to hell for those sins. And those flames purged those, because that's what fire does.
Yes.
And then you go over to Hebrews 9, and this is where our purging takes place. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It's that same fire.
Don't stop there.
Okay.
Go to Hebrews 12.
I love Hebrews 12.
Is there a verse that describes God as a consuming flame?
For our God is a consuming fire.
Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12.
Hebrews 12.
You're on the right path. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12.
Okay. Yep, and Hebrews 12.
Let's go there. We're going to start at verse 28. Wherefore, we're receiving a kingdom that which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God according, acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire.
Amen.
Even John says his eyes.
Yep.
Yeah. His eyes.
Yeah.
Those burning lamps. And his eyes are the burning lamps before the throne of God. It's those seven spirits of God.
Yes. Amen. It's good.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. Now, let's connect this with the word Hebrew. The word Hebrew means to cross over.
Yeah.
And I think this is that first mentioning of that.
Yeah.
It's the first speaking of that.
Yes.
And he's speaking of that thing that's going to come wherein they're going to cross over.
What's Jew refer to? You just described Hebrew. What's Jew refer to?
The Jewish people, it would be, I believe it's connected with Jerusalem. All right, speaking of those that live in the land. Well, you hear the phrase Jewry. Remember, Jesus couldn't walk openly in Jewry anymore. And even in Jeremiah, it talks about how Nebuchadnezzar took those certain ones out of Jewry. So it's the area that the Jews lived in. And so it would be like, you know, we're Americans. I think that's where that...
all the problems with Jesus, the word Hebrew isn't there, but it's always the Jews.
Mm-hmm. He's the king of the Jews. Yep. Because they're not all Israel that are of Israel, and they haven't all crossed over. But Paul said, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews.
Yeah.
He crossed over the Mediterranean for that thing. He came from Tarsus.
Right. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yep.
Well, I apologize.
Good questions.
There's a correlation difference between the Hebrews and Jews.
Yep.
Well, we need to get back into this thing, but we actually need to close. We can keep going
today
here.
Amen.
This is good stuff. What you're dealing with, but the one thing that people forget on both sides in the sacrifice, read Psalm 50 and come up and when the fire went through, when the burning, the smoking pot and the burning lamp, and how it consumed the sacrifice that was made. All right, Pastor, would you close us in prayer?
Father, thank you for the things you've showed us. God, I pray that we would take these. And Lord, may they be precepts whereupon we can stand so that we can see farther into your word, farther into your person, O Lord. I pray, Father, that this morning we already prayed that we would see the Lord Jesus Christ, and Father, you've manifested him through the preaching of the Word of God on the inward parts to us, and I thank you for it. Now, God, be with us. I pray that as we go next door, Lord, that this would not abate, Lord, that you would continue to reveal yourself to us, And Father, we would leave here completely differently than when we walked in. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray it. Amen.
Amen.